Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to start.
Visit Staples.com or text Staples to 84444. Offer ends 11/12. Staples, that was easy.
Consumer Reports is out with its most reliable cars list.
Japanese brands dominated the list of top vehicles as determined by subscribers to Consumer Reports. Chrysler, which nearly went out of business a few years ago, getting praise from chief tester David Champion for greatly improved reliability.
Really, Chrysler couldn't afford to have a new vehicle come out and have poor reliability.
Ford, meanwhile, getting criticism for new technologies in communications and transmissions that don't work as well as expected.
Jeff Gilbert, CBS News, Detroit.
It is said to be the last of the B-53s. That's not an airplane, but the B does stand for bomb. They were the most powerful nuclear bombs in the U.S. arsenal, hundreds of times more powerful than the weapons that ended World War II in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The final components of the last B-53 nuke were broken down today in Texas. It would have been carried on a B-52. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, and welcome to the Balance Wrap-Up. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We are getting ready to join the Gary Snyder Show live. And I'll tell you what, we got a jam-packed hour. We're going to talk some World Series. Going to break down the Rangers and the Cardinals. Got Chris Reed going to break down the Cardinals with us. Coming up right after we get back from this break, we're going to join the Gary Snyder Show live right here on the Balance Radio Network.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
DeannaHelpline.com. What do they do?
They list hundreds of local jobs.
Wow, that's really...
A pancake.
No, great.
Anybody could have told you that.
What's wrong with my hair?
CentralIndianaHelpline.com. Long name, amazing results.
This is Ann Kramer for Financial Advisors Roy Salute Mitchell of Edward Jones, bringing the daily financial market report. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 207 points to close at 11,706.62. The NASDAQ Composite Index was down 61.02 points to close at 2,638.42. Looking at issues of local interest, Vermota Company closed at 1243, down 8 cents. Eli Lilly closed at 37.42, down 77 cents. WellPoint closed at 67, down $1.45. Walmart closed at 56.71, down 7 cents. Vectren closed at 28.60, down 24 cents. Lowe's closed at 21.51, down 27 cents. AT&T closed at 28.41, down 47 cents. And Citigroup closed at 30.90, down 70 cents. This has been Ann Kramer for Financial Advisors Roy Salute Mitchell of Edward Jones, member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention and long-term financial advice at 1119 Northwestern Avenue in Marion. Daily commentary is also located on our website at www.edwardjones.com. Have a great evening.
21st Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-9000. 5530.
This is Michelle Caruso Cabrera from CNBC's Power Lunch, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
What would you think if I sang out a tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing out of key.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show, joined now by Tom Marquis and the Balance Radio Network, I hope.
We are.
Who knows?
We are here. We are here.
Good afternoon. All right, Tom, are you there?
It helps if you use that little fader thing there on your board that says mic or phone line or whatever. Yes, we are here. We are here. What a day it's been. I tell you what, there must be something about when John and Chris join us to talk about World Series, all the technical problems can happen at one time. And it looks like we have them both on the line with us. And that's probably my mistake. I probably told them both exactly the same time. So that's okay. We're going to talk some World Series and some Rangers. Along with us is John and Chris. We're going to talk about some Cardinals and Rangers. Are you guys there, both of you?
This is Chris. I'm here.
Chris, is John, are you there?
I would take that as a no.
I would take that as a no. Is his line is lit up. Okay. Well,
hey,
Chris,
Tom,
we'll
let me break in real quick. I need to tell people real quick that winter is rapidly approaching and time is running out to get that much-needed work done on your home. Got a leaky roof or storm damage? Better get it fixed. It's going to rain and snow soon. Call Dominion Home Builders now, 317-523-8414. Dominion Home Builders is an honest, top-notch general contractor serving central Indiana. Call them now, 317-523-8414. That is 317-523-8414. Or you can visit them online at dhbindiana.com. Dominion Home Builders. Structurally sound, distinguished by excellence. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, you know what, Gary? This would all have to happen when we break into a whole new market. But that's a whole other story for off the air. So we'll go ahead and we'll just jump right in here with Chris Reed, and we'll talk a little bit about the St. Louis Cardinals. Are you with us, Chris?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. All the buttons have worked. Chris, I tell you what, I was really excited last night watching the Cardinals. I mean, it was kind of like a win-lose, win-lose, win-lose when it comes to St. Louis Cardinals. What happened there toward the end? And obviously, we know what happened, but what are some of the key things that contributed to the St. Louis Cardinals losing it last night's game?
Well, it definitely seems like Tony La Russa may have outmanaged himself a little bit with the way he had the pitchers brought in to that inning, that big inning that the Rangers ended up taking the lead. And I think, you know, in hindsight, Mark Szczepanski facing Mike Napoli is not the best matchup in the world. And as far as the whole deal fiasco, whatever you want to call it, with the bullpen phones and bringing in Lance Lynn on accident and then Mott coming in, it was a very confusing game towards the end there. So it's easy to sit there and blame that for that game. But the reality of the situation is that the Cardinals just weren't getting big hits in key situations, and they should have not been in a position to, you know, only have a couple runs on the board where the Rangers could score a couple and put the game essentially out of reach.
Now, you mentioned that with Lance, and that was one thing that I was going to ask you about. I did not realize that was an accident. I actually thought that that was a master chess piece moved by Tony La Russa so that he could warm up the correct pitcher. I did not realize until later on after reading it, when it was going on, I should say, I didn't realize that that was a mistake. So you say there was a problem in the bullpen phones. I guess my question would be, and maybe it's an obvious question, but why not just leave him out there for a few pitches and see what he could have done with a couple other batters?
Well, let me just correct you if I could. The story that we're getting from La Russa is that there was a problem with the bullpen phone or that the bullpen coach couldn't hear him. Excuse me. So whether or not that's 100% accurate, I guess we'll never know, but it does seem a little fishy, and a lot of people have questioned it today on the national media and the local media as well. But I don't know. I think just generally speaking, Lynn was not scheduled to pitch because he had already pitched a few innings, and they are very conscious of overworking pitchers, especially young pitchers, and having guys unavailable for other stints down the road. And maybe there was the sense that if the Cardinals were and Rangers were to get the game tied to extra innings, then you have to maybe go to Lynn or somebody else. But by that point, they already had the lead. So I don't really know why Lynn was completely unavailable other than they didn't want to bury him and possibly injure him. But, you know, with the day off today, it's hard to really imagine that being too much of the case. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure why they didn't just say, okay, well, let's go with it and get this one last out and get out of here. But he did it the way he did it. And Mott did need more time to warm, which is why Lynn threw the intentional walk. But was it even necessary for him to come in at that point at all? I don't know.
You know, and an organization that prides itself, especially Tony La Russa, who is just a master manager, there just seemed to be some late inning, and you talk about the pitcher, but, you know, the stolen base, attempted stolen base, there just seemed to be a lot go wrong there in the late innings that seemed to cost them the game last night.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was definitely not a typical St. Louis Cardinals game, and what worse time could there be than, you know, in a World Series it's tied two games apiece. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure where the breakdown started, came from, how it ended up, you know, playing out the way it did. But they definitely made some questionable moves. And again, it's not the only reason they lost the game, but it definitely took them out of the game when they still had a chance to win it.
Now,
go ahead, Tom.
I don't think that the bullpen was the only place that the Cardinals had problem communicating. It seems like Albert Pujols was having a problem out there as well. And I mean, I think they had so much trouble communicating with him as well. How does something like that happen? Is it because it's the World Series? Is it because everything is magnified because it is the World Series? Is it magnified maybe because you know, they were trying to get the home field advantage? What was, I guess, to repeat the same question, only worded differently, what was going on between Albert Pujols and everybody else?
Well, all those reasons you listed are probably part of the problem, I would say. But it's definitely not characteristic of Albert Pujols. And maybe it's just bad timing that he has a bad game or a couple of bad games. You know, he had that amazing Game 3 performance Saturday night, but then the rest of the series he doesn't have a hit. So, you know, I don't know where their heads are. I know they're not scoring a lot of runs except for that one game, and I know they've been leaning on their bullpen a lot, and they've gotten some pretty good starts out of Chris Carpenter and Jaime Garcia so far anyway, and they've really kind of skidded by on that to this point. I don't know how many more mistakes they can withstand and still get this game to a seventh at Busch Stadium.
All right, guys, we have to take a quick break. Chris, can you hold?
I sure can.
All right, before we go to break, if you paid any attention, you know I was out searching for carpet for my new house. It had been lost. Not really. I just needed new carpet. So I did what everybody else did when it came time to buy new carpet. I went to all the big box stores. You know who they are. But when I did this, I found something was missing. That's right, service. You know what I'm talking about. Then a friend recommended Lehman Floor Covering in Huntington. Not only did Lehman Floor Covering have all the top brands of carpeting, Mohawk, Stainmaster, Baro, and Shaw, they also had something that was missing from every other place I checked out. You guessed it. Great customer service, attention to detail, and that personal touch. So if you're looking for new carpet, hardwood floors, tile, laminate, vinyl, heck, they even specialize in new baths and kitchens and carry H&K countertops made right here in Marion. Lehman Floor Covering will have what you need when you need it with the customer service you deserve. Lehman Floor Covering is your one-stop shop from ceiling to floor. And you know what? They wouldn't have been in business for over 50 years if they weren't doing it exactly right. Give Todd a call today, 260-356-7226. Again, 260-356-7226 for a free estimate, or you can visit them on the web at LehmanFloorCovering.com. Or just come on into their newly expanded store, 1940 Etna Avenue in Huntington. Short drive. Lehman Floor Covering. All right, you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Bring in your corn, we'll make some steam. Together we'll keep the environment green. Let's keep our future beautiful at Central Indiana Ethanol Fuel for the future.
Is harvest a stressful time? Let Central Indiana Ethanol make it a little less stressful by offering extended hours on-farm pickup, and they accept corn with up to 22% moisture, plus offer free lunches during the week. Choose CIE for a less stressful harvest, making harvest better. Central Indiana Ethanol.
Good evening, this is Diane.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Pump up the volume, check it out.
sports. March Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
The Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, kid, do I have your attention? I know the way you've been living.
I'm no reckless tragedy in this. Welcome to the family.
Hey, is there something missing? Only time will alter your vision.
Never in question, lethal injection. Welcome to the family.
Not long ago.
We are back here on the Gary Snyder Show. Hopefully, still joined by Tom Marquis. Tom, are you there?
I am here. I think everybody, we're still here. We're rocking and rolling, man.
All right, go ahead and continue our conversation with Chris.
We're joined by Chris Reed. Chris, it is so good to have you on board with us and join us. There's something about you and our other guy, John, that comes in and talks about the Rangers. I don't know, maybe it's us that's having a communication problem. Obviously, Gary and I are in two different locations. We're trying to do a national broadcast. But thanks for joining the Balance Radio Network Coast to Coast as we break down the World Series. And I guess I'm at loss for words, which is hard to do, to figure out, in my opinion, as a fan and as someone that covers the Cardinals quite a lot, I thought the Cardinals had that win last night. I still believe that we can get this to seven games, but obviously now it's become an uphill battle. Let's talk a little bit about Carpenter. Is he what we expected that he would be in the World Series, or has he kind of fell short a little bit?
No, I would say he's been what we expected. I mean, you know, the game that he pitched against the Phillies in Game 5, that just masterpiece that he threw against Roy Halladay, was some of the best Chris Carpenter we've ever seen, you know, postseason or otherwise. And obviously he's not going to pitch a complete game shutout every game, but you know, he's come pretty close, and he hasn't given up huge innings. He hasn't been inefficient with his pitches for the most part. You know, I don't think it would be reasonable to expect him to come out and throw 8 or 9 innings every outing. But you know, boy, with guys like Kyle Loesch and Edwin Jackson backing him up, knowing that the bullpen's going to have to pitch probably 4 or 5 innings when those guys start, him going out and throwing, 6, 7, 8 innings is huge for this team.
Gary,
well, Chris, as the Cardinals have their backs against the wall now, they're facing an elimination game. How do you expect the Cardinals to come out to play tomorrow? Maybe a little nervous, maybe a little desperate. What do you expect from them?
Honestly, if they came out with either of those emotions on their sleeve, it would surprise me, because everything has been an elimination game to this point for this team, it seems like. Ever since they started their run back in early September and having to try and catch the Braves, you know, every loss was near devastating, but they still managed to come back and win when it counted most. And the same thing happened in the Phillies series. They were down 2-1, and they ended up winning Game 5. And then same thing with the Brewers. You know, they never faltered when it mattered most, and they've done well at home in this postseason. And I would be really surprised if they fell apart in Game 6. Now, they may not win Game 6, but it certainly won't be for nervousness or feeling the pressure, because they've been feeling the pressure for 6 weeks plus now.
Well, one thing, Chris, before we let you go here into the bottom of the break, and we'll let you go. Obviously, like you said, the Cardinals have had a good run since August. Obviously, since mid-August or so, they were left for dead. And one of the good things, the Cardinals go home with history on their side. The previous four times that the Cardinals team has gone home with a 3-2 series lead deficit, St. Louis has won the last two games to finish off the series. We got to make that happen. So for Cardinal fans all over the United States, What does the St. Louis Cardinals got to do to keep history going?
Well, I think last time I was on, we talked about, you know, the X factor, and I mentioned it maybe being Jaime Garcia, and here he is with the season on the line. So he's got to have a great start. He has to limit the damage against the Rangers, put up a zero or a one or a two, and give the Cardinals a chance to win. And on the flip side, they have got to hit the ball better. There's just no other way to say it. When you take out that game three, you know, outburst, and look at their run totals of 3-1, 0-2 in the other four games, that's just not going to cut it against a team with an offense as dynamic as the Rangers have. So Jaime keeps them in the game, and they are able to get key hits with guys on base. The Cardinals can force a game seven with relatively few theatrics and you know, general weirdness like we've seen so far. And then, you know, game seven, it's up for grabs. So,
all right, Chris Reed, the original bird brain. Hey, Chris, where can everybody find you at across the net? I don't know if we'll get a chance to talk again before the end of the series, but don't be a stranger on the show. But how can people find you across the World Wide Web?
Well, they can read my blog at bird-brained.mlblogs.com. They can read me on Saturdays at i70baseball.com, Mondays at insidestl.com, and follow me on Twitter at birdbrained.
All right, guys.
All right, Chris, thanks a lot, and appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
You know, generally, I'm a pretty calm.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
All right, welcome back to the Balance and / Gary Snyder Show right here on the Balance Radio Network. My name's Tom Mark with El Presidente. My partner and alibi on that crime that never happened, Mr. $2 Bill Josh, cannot join us today as he is tied up in his real job today, trying to make some money and see what happens from there. Well, we're breaking down the World Series, and I tell you what a disappointing loss for the St. Louis Cardinals last night against the Texas Rangers out there in Arlington, as we just talked about with Chris Reed, blogger and extraordinaire of St. Louis Cardinals, really talked to us a lot about what was going on. And one of the key things that they talked about was our bullpen phones wasn't working. I don't know, Tony. Come on, master chess player you are. And I am baffled as to why you would put Lance in there for one pitch and bring out the other guy. I thought at first it was somewhat of a strategy, but I guess not. And obviously
Well, the national media and guys like myself are having a heyday trying to figure out what in the world happened with the St. Louis Cardinals. Well, one thing did happen on a positive note last night. Obviously, the Texas Rangers came back, won the game. Now it's an uphill battle for the St. Louis Cardinals in the Fall Classic. When we get back, we're going to join the Gary Snyder Show live, and we're going to got a great guest with us from the Dallas Morning Star is going to talk with us about the Texas Rangers. And, looks like they're on a way to, if things don't change out there in St. Louis, they're on a way to a World Series win. Couldn't do it last year. We'll see if they can do it this year. This is the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get to our next guest, I need to tell you, Freightco, yes, they are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM plus, and for all you St. Louis Cardinal fans out there, that means in addition to a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Now, I don't know what a CPM and an FSC are, but I can tell you what. If you're an owner-operator, I bet you do. Plus, it must be important. They put it in their ad. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call. He's not waiting now. He's probably at home eating dinner. 866-397-2581. Again, 866-397-2581. You can visit them on the web at Freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. Now, if you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. Takes care of everything. All right, now, here on the Gary Snyder Show, he writes for the Dallas Morning News and Fox Sports Southwest. This is, his second time on the show. And I know I'm going to butcher his name, and hopefully he'll correct me. John Makota. John, are you there?
It is. It's Jim Machota, but whatever. I'm telling you, I told you guys the other day, it doesn't bother me. So it's Machota, though. But, yes, I'm here and loving the 88-degree weather in Dallas, Texas right now.
And it's got to be better for the Rangers than that crap they had in St. Louis last week.
It was, man. Hey, it woke up the bats, that's for sure.
All right. Texas Rangers lead the series 3-2. Big 4-2 win last night. Heading back to St. Louis for Game 6. What's the psyche right now of the Texas Rangers as they are one win away from being World Series champions?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive, to be honest with you, because even talking to guys after the game yesterday, I really didn't sense – it really wasn't any different than talking to the guys if they lost 16-7. They stayed really, really even keel, and I think that's obviously an attribute to the veterans in the club, Ian Kinsler especially, just really, you know, a lot of people wanted to talk to him about Mike Napoli's big night and just how great it is that they're one game away from winning their first World Series. And even he just was so, like, even keel about it and like, well, you know, that's great and all, but we're not getting ahead of ourselves. And you know, we just, you know, we, it doesn't mean anything if we don't finish this thing off. And, you know, they have to win one out of two in St. Louis. They haven't lost back-to-back games in almost 2 months now. It goes back to late August. So, you know, they're obviously in great shape right now. And, you know, it seems like they're still in a very workmanlike a psyche.
Well, and John, I'm just going to go with John because that works. We know that's your name. So glad that you could join us here on the Balance Radio Network and talk about an exciting time for the Texas Rangers. And in my opinion, and I've followed a lot of World Series in my day, this is one of the most exciting World Series that we've seen in a long time. And I think it has a very much the possibility of going to seven games, and I've said that all along. But at the very beginning of the season, back in the spring training days, I also said, looks like on paper that the Texas Rangers can get the job done. Obviously, that's become a reality. They are one win away from winning the World Series. What are some of the key things? Now they have to go to St. Louis to win, and like you said, you know, you're not going to get one past Tony La Russa very often, and I about bet that he's going to check and double-check and triple-check his bullpen phones, if that, in fact, is what was going on. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, well, as far as the La Russa thing, I don't believe that one bit at all. I think that he's covering up for somebody, but I mean, that's Tony. He's, you know, a Hall of Fame manager. He's one of the greatest the game's ever seen, so, I mean, he knows what he's doing. I don't expect another mistake like that out of St. Louis, but you know, before yesterday's game, Nolan Ryan talked to several media members in a press conference setting, and he said, you know, the series will come down to pitching. And, yeah, it sounds like the typical thing you hear from, you know, a Hall of Fame pitcher like Nolan Ryan, but it's the truth. That's what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to, you know, which starter is going to come out and give his team a chance to be in the ballgame. Not necessarily, you don't have to be like Derek Holland was and shut it down for eight and third innings, but you're going to have to come out and give five or six innings, and then which bullpen is going to be better. And last night, obviously, it was the Rangers. You know, C.J. Wilson was nowhere near good. I mean, he was close to getting his fourth loss of this postseason, which would have, I believe, tied a record for postseason losses. So, you know, it's the bullpen was solid, and that's what it'll have to be again. You know, if the Rangers win this World Series and win one of these next two, it's going to be because the bullpen was strong. And either Matt Harrison or Derek Holland, if he comes in, or Colby Lewis in Game 6 doesn't get shelled. So it's going to come down to pitching. You know, bats will be there, but you know, whoever pitches better is winning this series.
What do you take away from last night's mistakes by the Cardinals? Because when you take a look at the last couple of innings or so, just some mistakes you don't see major league ball clubs make very often, and especially a manager like Tony La Russa.
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, I didn't get a chance to go to his post-game press conference. I went right to the Rangers locker room. But when I was, you know, listening to the audio from what he said and how he was explaining the way that whole thing went down, it just didn't make any sense to, you know, mixing up names like Mott and Zibchinski. I mean, that just doesn't even make any – I don't know. I don't buy that. And it was shocking that it came down to something like that from a team that, you know, it does everything by the book. And that's the last thing you would expect – a mistake like that from them. I mean, if anything coming into the series, if you were going to say a mistake like that would happen, you know, 95% or 200% would have said that would have been Ron Washington making that mistake and that. But, well, then again, Ron Washington's proven that he's one of the best managers in baseball. But, no, I was really surprised that La Russa said that that's what went down, and I'm surprised that did happen. And, obviously, it did have an impact on the game, leading to Mike Napoli's, you know, game-winning double.
Now, John, you were talking about Ron Washington. He has kind of an unorthodox way of managing. Obviously, it's working for him. Two different types of managers in the dugout for the Cardinals and for the Rangers. But what are your thoughts about Ron Washington compared to Tony La Russa?
You know, It's tough to compare the two just because La Russa has such a long track record going back. So, you know, he's obviously seen a lot more than Ron has as a manager. But Ron is one of those guys that, you know, he prides himself on knowing his team better than anybody else knows his team. And he lets you know that. And he manages on feel and what he thinks is a good situation to use guys, and he uses them. And I just don't think that enough people know enough about Ron Washington. You know, they see him on TV, you know, acting wild in the dugout when there's a rally going on and things like that, and they think he's just like, you know, there having fun. But Ron Washington's a good manager. I mean, he's made a ton of great calls, whether it's dealing with the bullpen or adjusting his lineup. I mean, he moved Mike Napoli down so he could split up his left-handed hitters and have Napoli in between two lefties, and obviously that paid off huge. Caused problems for the Cardinals bullpen. I mean, he makes a lot of great decisions, but I feel like he gets kind of the short end of the stick in this manager battle because, you know, Tony La Russa is this stoic, you know, serious manager in the dugout, and, you know, Ron Washington likes to have some fun and be a little bit loose and be like another one of the guys, but you can't sleep on that because Washington has made this team an aggressive baseball club, and obviously it's worked out for them.
Now the Rangers head up to St. Louis up 3-2 for game 6. You were in the locker room last night after the game talking with the players. What's the morale like in the locker room as they head up to St. Louis to try to close this thing out?
It's extremely serious, just business-like in there. Especially for a game where it was going to be win or lose, it was their last game at home, you know, and even the guys, you know, trying to talk to the guys about that, you know, you could just tell it wasn't even on their mind that was really the last game, you know. It crossed their mind at the end, you know, as they're in their locker room, knowing that that's the last time, but just winning this World Series is what everybody's so focused on. I mean, I talked to probably 7 or 8 guys yesterday, and I felt like every single one of them was the same, just real serious, not really even enjoying any of these wins at all. It's to be honest with you, it compares a lot to the way it was covering the Mavericks this year. Just very similar, very, you know, goal-oriented where, you know, it really doesn't matter what, you know, maybe Mike Napoli had the big hits the last 2 games and, you know, Michael Young had some big hits, the pitching staff had some big moments, but it's just very team-like, you know, just really, really focused on just this goal and from everybody, you know, from you know, the guys on the bench to, you know, the biggest names in the lineup. So very, very serious, very business-like. Really shocked me that they had a couple of, like, errors and some bobbles early in the game because that's not like them at all. Their defense is what has really got them here, you know, as well as the bats. But this is just a very business-like team, and that's why they've gotten as far as they have.
All right, hey, John, can you hold on to a quick break?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
A once-in-a-lifetime opportunity is coming this month to the Grand County Family YMCA. Saturday, October 29th, the Masquerade Ball comes to the Y, sponsored by the Marion Philharmonic Orchestra. Dress up in your best costumes for dinner at 6 p.m. and sit back and be entertained by the Philharmonic and choruses from Taylor University and Indiana Wesleyan University. They'll be directed by Joanne Bettiger and Todd Guy. Order your tickets for the Masquerade Ball coming to the Grand County Family YMCA. The Masquerade Ball is Saturday, October 29th. Contact the Marion Philharmonic Orchestra for your tickets. What do you expect from election coverage? A solid anchor man?
Here are the latest results.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Yeah.
still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around, when the snow melts away.
See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. Bart, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
We are back on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. Before we get back to our guests, I need to tell you about United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate, and Natalie Letterly. Now, I've told you about her before, and I'm going to tell you again. If you are looking to buy your dream home or looking to sell your home, you can call Natalie Letterly first, or you can call her last, but eventually she needs to be involved in any real estate conversation you are having. Is it because of her professionalism? Second to none. Is it because of her experience? Second to none. Is it because of her credentials? Top notch. All of those are why you need to call her. But most of all, it's because of the passion she has for real estate and helping you find your dream home and selling the home you currently have. Give her a call, 260-358-9288. Again, 260-358-9288. Natalie Letterly and United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate. You can look her up on the web at lrealestate.com. I'm not talking about the letter L. Talking Tom's favorite magazine, ELLE, realestate.com. United Country, Natalie L. Real Estate, Natalie Letterly. She needs to be involved in any real estate conversation you are having in Grant County, Huntington County, and the surrounding area, period. All right, we are back with our guest, and I think I've got it nailed. John Machada. He is the beat writer for the Texas Rangers for the Dallas Morning News, and he also rides for Fox Sports Midwest. Tom, you got a question?
Hey, I tell you what, you are doing much better with your Hooked on Phonics there. much better than I am. You know, when I covered IndyCar over the summer, and you know, every driver in IndyCar has a foreign name. So every day I had to learn how to pronounce a new name. And Alex Tagliani actually taught me how to say his name. So it's all good. But really, John, one of the things I just think this is an exciting World Series as it is, and I love the game of baseball anyway. But what do you think about that sixth inning pray to the baseball gods one knee hit by Adrian Beltre?
That was amazing. I don't know how you do something like that. You know, for most hitters, everything has to be perfect. You know, your swing has to be perfect, the timing's got to be down, your stance has got to be right. Everything has to be in perfect order to hit a home run. And you get a guy like Beltre doing that off of one knee. And he said after the game that he's done that a bunch of times throughout his career. He's been doing it since he was in the minors. And he does that on breaking pitches, and that's what Carpenter was throwing him. And Carpenter was throwing him a couple breaking balls on a bat prior to that home run, and he went down to a knee a couple times there. So after he went back to the clubhouse, he watched a video of that at bat. So the next time he came up against Carpenter, he was kind of sitting on that breaking ball. He ended up doing it again, hitting it out. And, you know, I jokingly asked him after the game, I said, is that something that you practice? And he was so serious, but I was like, no, you would never practice something like that. That's terrible. It's a terrible mechanic. You should never do that. Like, he almost got mad that I would even ask him something like that. But Ian Kinsler joked around about it, too. He was like, I don't know anybody else in baseball that can do that to hit a home run like that and finish on one knee. You know, it just, you know, pretty much just shows you how talented Adrian Beltre really is.
Well, the Rangers have the lead. It's their first lead in this series. Do they close it out tomorrow in St. Louis or not?
I don't think so. I think this one's going seven. You know, heading into the series, I was saying Cardinals in seven just because everybody down here was saying Rangers in six, from Dirk Nowitzki to Nolan Ryan. You know, people are predicting Rangers in six. And, you know, in sports, when everybody predicts one thing, that almost never happens. So I was thinking Cardinals in seven, but I'm actually, just because the Rangers haven't lost back-to-back games, I think the Rangers wind up winning it in seven. I think that Jaime Garcia is going to pitch well again tomorrow and do enough where it's going to be a low-scoring game, and the Cardinals probably pull something out 3-2, 4-2, something like that. And then it'll go to seven, and I see Harrison starting but not lasting very long, and then Derek Holland coming in getting a few innings in there, and then all hands are on deck, you know, in a game seven situation like that. And I just think it's going to be a tremendous game seven, and it's going to end the series the right way, and just a great baseball series that goes seven games, which is not really that common for World Series lately. But I think that the Rangers offense will get a timely hit in game seven and win it in the seventh game.
Now, obviously, one of the greatest baseball players of all time is on the field, and possibly for the last time in a St. Louis Cardinals uniform. A couple parts to this question. One, do you think Washington's afraid of Pujols? I mean, he intentionally walked him three times yesterday. And then back at St. Louis, obviously that's his kingdom there. Another part of this question is, does the St. Louis Cardinals work it out with Albert Pujols for next year?
Well, on the first part of the question, I think that they will continue to walk Albert Pujols. I mean, Gerrit Holland didn't walk him because Gerrit Holland was pitching well, and so Washington let him go. But I think you do continue to do it because the numbers show that they've walked Albert Pujols. They've intentionally walked Miguel Cabrera the series before, and when they've done it, those runs have not come back to haunt them. And, I mean, baseball, you would think that would happen. I mean, when you put runners on base like that and give them free passes, usually that comes back to haunt you, and it hasn't haunted these Rangers at all. So I don't see why Washington would go away from that. As far as Pujols coming back to St. Louis, I would think he does. Maybe they won't be able to match some of the money that maybe the Cubs will be able to offer him if the Cubs are indeed interested. But, you know, I think Albert knows he'll get enough money from St. Louis. And just to have that, you know, ability to be a rare case in sports where he starts his career in one city and ends it there, it's so rare that I think that he recognizes that's special. And St. Louis is just the perfect baseball town to do that in, you know. And it's not like he's this great star on a team that doesn't try and put pieces around him where you're kind of like, yeah, I can understand that he wants to get out of there. I mean, St. Louis is a great situation, and Albert's a smart guy, and I think he'll recognize that, and I expect him to return. And La Russa's another one. La Russa's contract's up, too, and you know, he doesn't want to talk about that right now, but, you know, winning or losing the series, regardless, I really see both of them coming back as Cardinals next year.
All right, John, we got to wrap things up here. Where can people find your work?
You can find me at sportsdaydfw.com and foxsportssouthwest.com, or you can just check out my Twitter page where I just tweet all my links to all my stories, and that's at John Machota, so that's the at sign, and then followed by JONMACHOTA.
Thanks a lot, John, and good luck to the Rangers tomorrow night.
All right, well, thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks a lot, John.
Did you notice I didn't say good luck to the Cardinals, Tom?
Well, I thought that was an interesting thought where he said that Albert Pujols might end up with the Cubs, and obviously with Epstein being the new manager, that's something that's talked about, and obviously we've got to save that for another day in another show. But I don't think he'll do that. I think he'll stay right where he's at with the Cardinals.
Now, Tom, I haven't mentioned this yet tonight, and I'm going to do it here the last couple minutes of the show. I actually got some fan mail today here at the radio station, and it was one of these fan mails that come, and there's no return address on it. So that raises my curiosity right away. And I open it up, and there is a letter in there, and it says, Gary, most of us know that frickin' and friggin' really mean effin'. Knock it off. How about that?
Hey, man, you know what? I agree with that.
And trust me, they did not, they put the whole F-bomb on that.
Come on, man. Darn FCC rules and regulations on real radio. No, I just...
Maybe I should just name this the friggin' Gary Snyder Show.
Hey, now, over here on the Balance Radio Network, when we're not connected on your show there, it's like cable. We can literally say whatever we want to say right here on the Balance Radio Network. But, you know, we run a family show across the board, so you would never hear the F-bomb. But if we chose to use the F-bomb, we could bomb away. Bomb away, buddy.
Well, I'm pretty sure you haven't heard the F-bomb on this show, even though we did interview the author of Go the F to Sleep not too long ago, and actually had someone read the book with the bleeps. But as far as hearing it, no. All right, Tom, we got to let you go. Real quick, you got no, I don't have enough time. All right, you've been listening to the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
All right. Gary, what are we going to do with you? Well, yeah, this is the Balance Radio Network. We've got an hour left, and I tell you, one of the things that we always like to do this last part of the hour, the last part of the show, is we replay the second hour of the Gary Snyder Show. So we're gonna go to that right after this break. We're going to jump right into the Gary Snyder Show. Now, one thing, that breaking news that just happened, the Indianapolis Colts do place Kerry Collins on injured reserve. So that's obviously something that myself and Gary will get into right here on the Balance Radio Network. We'll get back, go right into hour number two of today's show, October 25th, of the Gary Snyder Show on the Balance Radio Network.
This is Fred Thompson, and you're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
It's empty in the valley of your heart. The sun, it rises slowly as you walk away from all the fears and all the faults you've left behind. The harvest left no food for you to eat. You cannibal, you meat eater, you see. But I have seen the same, I know the shame in your defeat. But I will hold on hope, and I won't let you choke on the noose around your neck. And
all right, we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show. I want to thank our guest last hour, Pete Seat, and all of our marijuana phone calls. What's that say about my listenership? I can't get you to call in to tell me who you want to support in municipal elections. But boy, the first time I ask you to tell me what you think about legalizing marijuana, the phones ring off the hook. Oh, right. Love it. Love it. Love it. All right. Last Friday, I had a chance to speak interview with Dr. Yaron Brook from the Ayn Rand Center and talk about the Occupy Wall Street crowd that is still in protests that are still going strong. We'll replay that interview for you right here on the Gary Snyder Show. All right, I'm pleased. Our next guest, he is the executive director of the, and I know I'm going to say this wrong, Ayn Rand Center for Individual Rights, Dr. Yaron Brook. Welcome to the Gary Snyder Show.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm sorry, Doctor, you're breaking up a lot there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said you pronounced the name.
We've got a really bad cell connection.
Oh, we do.
We sound fine now.
Okay. I'll try not to move.
Well, you know, I have an iPhone 4, so you know, you got to hold it with two fingers at a certain angle and the whole bit just to keep a phone call.
Well, I'll try to do that. I've got two fingers on it now.
Did I get the pronunciation of everything correct?
You did. That was perfect. Congratulations.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit about yourself and your group and what you guys do.
Well, the Institute's really dedicated to taking Ayn Rand's ideas and trying to make them part of the national debates, whether it's applied to politics, education, environmental issues, a variety of different policy issues. The idea is to take Rand's philosophy and make it, you know, part of the discussion all the way from Washington to the classroom. And that's what we're really dedicated to doing.
Now, I may be a little naive here. Tell us a little bit about Ayn Rand.
Ayn was a author and philosopher. Your listeners might be familiar with The Fountainhead or Atlas Shrugged, which are her best-selling novels. She was originally born in Russia in 1905, lived to see the rise of communism, and came to America and became probably the loudest critic of communism and the most significant defender of capitalism probably of the last century. She believed capitalism was not only good, and it was not only efficient and produced the goods, but much more fundamentally, that capitalism was the only moral economic system and political system. And so she became a huge defender of individual rights and of capitalism. And her books are really odes to the kind of the celebrations of capitalism and the market system.
Well, you know, that leads me into my next question. For someone who is such a champion of capitalism, you know, tell us a little bit about what you think of the current Occupy Wall Street protests. And, you know, it not only is spread across the U.S., but the world now.
No, I think that the Occupy Wall Street phenomena, which maybe is spreading, or maybe the U.S. was inspired by some of what was going on already in Europe and elsewhere. I think it represents a certain legitimate anger at what has happened during this financial crisis, the bailouts, the unemployment, the bad economy, and just the sense of despair that exists, I think, in the country of nobody having real solutions, nobody having real answers. And I think all of that is legitimate, but unfortunately, these people have completely misdiagnosed the problem, are blaming the wrong people, and therefore protesting in the wrong place where they should be, is in front of Congress and in front of the White House. This is a crisis, a financial economic crisis that was created by government, created by Congress, created by the politicians, and who they are the ones making it worse. They're the ones that are preventing jobs from being created. And, bankers, you know, while maybe at fault at the margins, are not at the heart of this problem. Capitalism is the solution, not the problem. What we need is more freedom, not less freedom. What we need is Wall Street let loose from government constraints, not more government constraints on Wall Street.
Well, when you mentioned that this should be directed at Congress and the White House, what do you make of the president and the Democrats kind of throwing their support behind this Occupy Wall Street crowd when maybe they should be the ones being picketed?
Well, I think as long as they're not being picketed, then of course they're going to throw their support behind this group. I mean, look, this group is fundamentally anti-capitalist. This group is fundamentally anti-banking and anti-markets, and is obsessed with the idea that somehow the rich are to blame for everything, and the rich are somehow free riding in the world we live in, and that is exactly the philosophy of Obama, and it's exactly the philosophy of the Democrats. So I'm not surprised that they're jumping behind these guys. They represent their views to a large extent. This is a movement that has no solutions other than to penalize, people like the rich, the so-called rich. They have no solutions. They have no program. They have nothing that will actually lead to economic growth. And I think they share that completely with the president and the Democratic Party.
Now, one of the, ideas that the Occupy Wall Street people have brought up, and I think it's gotten lost a little bit in all the chanting and signs and I'm going to say pot smoking, but, you know, hippies are hippies. But, you know, is the fact that corporate money in politics these days seems to be the underlying root of all of our problems, at least economically. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think we're reversing cause and effect. I don't think the problem is corporate money in politics. I think it's politics in corporate policies, which then results in the corporations going and, you know, trying to defend themselves to begin with and then influencing politics. So I'll give you a classical example. Before the Justice Department went after Microsoft in the mid-1990s, Microsoft spent on lobbying exactly $0. It didn't have a presence in Washington, didn't lobby at all. But once the Justice Department went after them, they had to defend themselves. And, of course, they spent millions of dollars. And today, they probably spent over $100 million on lobbying. And the reason is that, you know, they have to defend themselves. But then, of course, they get seduced by the idea that part of defending themselves is by penalizing the competitors, and they get into politics. So what we need to advocate is not to stop corporate money going into politics. What we need to advocate is for politicians to get out of attempting to regulate and to provide favors and to favor one industry over another, one company over another. And this is not what the Occupy Wall Street movement is about at all. So, for example, they are very concerned about bailing out Wall Street, and I agree with them. We shouldn't have bailed out Wall Street. But they have no problem bailing out the auto industry. Well, if we're not going to bail out Wall Street, why should we bail out the auto industry? They have no problem, for example, in government subsidizing solar energy companies like Solera, who went bankrupt, because that fits their social agenda. I believe that we should separate politics completely from economics, get the government out of regulating business, out of determining winners and losers, out of giving anybody subsidies, get them out of that, and then people would stop lobbying because Congress wouldn't have any power over them. So I think to the extent that there's truth in their argument, they're not applying it consistently, and they don't understand the real cause and effect chain here.
Now, as you take a look at Washington, especially with the 2000, I'll call it a landslide, at least in the House, that came with the Republicans taking over, there seems to be a more than ever divided government. The Republicans tend to be more conservative. The Democrats seem to be more liberal, and there doesn't seem to be anybody right in the middle. Do you think that's contributing to the economic and political distress we're seeing today?
No, because I think the middle would be disastrous. I think the gridlock is probably the best that we can hope for in the world right now. So for example, I believe that Obama's stimulus packages, the past one and the one he's trying to pass right now, are horrific for the economy. They actually are bad for the economy. Not only are they not neutral or good, like he would like to believe us to believe, they actually destroy economic activity. So the fact that there's gridlock and these economic policies are not being passed, that his jobs bill is not being passed, is actually good for the economy. And a middle of the road would say, okay, let's instead of spending, you know, $100 billion on this, let's spend $50 billion on this. That's bad policy. That would actually be $50 billion spent in order to destroy economic activity. So my view is that right now the best we can hope for is gridlock. As long as we have this president, nothing good can come of anything coming out of Washington. We just need to wait it out until there's a better president, if there's a better president. And then maybe you can come up with some constructive policies that would actually result in positive economic activity. So just getting stuff done is not good policy.
Well, there seems to be, by some sectors, to compare the Tea Party groups to this Occupy Wall Street group. Do you see any correlation there between the two groups?
Well, the only similarity is that they're both mad. They're both angry. But the differences are far greater than the similarities. You know, the Tea Party group, I think, is mad at something very legitimate. It's mad at the growth of government. At some visceral level, some emotional level, they understand that the cause of the problems that we have today is government. It's unlimited big government. And therefore, What they're trying to do is organize without violating anybody's property rights, without demonstrating, without pitching tents on private property or public property. They're trying to organize in a way as to influence the debate towards smaller, limited government, return to the Constitution. The Occupy Wall Street group is a much more nihilistic group that is not interested in real solutions, is not interested in limiting government, and is quite willing to violate property rights and to pitch a tent anywhere they think they can get away with it. And, in that sense, does not have a respect for the rule of law and is much more nihilistic than the Tea Party movement and a much less healthy phenomenon as a consequence.
Now, when you take a look at the 2012 elections, we're already hitting it in full gear, at least on the Republican side, and I guess on the Democratic side, too, with President Obama traveling around the country in his campaign, jobs creation bus. How do you handicap next year's election? Let's look at the Republicans first. Is there any one candidate, I guess without endorsing, that seems to have a better economic plan than the others?
Sure, and I can't endorse anybody because I do run a 501c3. But, I think that Cain has a better economic policy. I don't love it. I don't think it's the ideal policy, but it sure beats anything Romney is saying or one can imagine Romney doing. I think Cain is really dedicated to cutting government spending. I think Cain is obviously dedicated to completely reforming our tax system. His 999 plan, I'm not crazy about, but again, it's better than anything anybody else is proposing right now. So I think there's some good ideas there, whether he's electable, whether the Republicans will go for him. I mean, Romney has such a huge lead with regard to money and infrastructure and organization that it's hard to tell. But I'm not sure Romney could beat Obama, and I'm not sure Romney would be a significant improvement over Obama. So I think Republicans have a real choice to make. So far, it doesn't look like they're willing to make that choice. It seems like we'll see once the primary season hits how the Republican voters will sway.
Do you attribute Cain's rise in the polls basically that he is kind of a plain-spoken, matter-of-fact speaking person, and he's the only one really to put out a pretty simple plan? I guess when you look at some of the other plans, they seem to be convoluted and very you almost have to be an economist to figure them out. Herman Cain's plan seems to be straight and matter of fact.
Yes, and Romney's plan is filled with big words and is meaningless. I mean, reading it, you don't get a sense of any kind of real changes in terms of his vision for the U.S. economy. And he is the author, after all, of RomneyCare, which is a form of socialized medicine. So it's hard to believe that he is going to move the Republican Party to a better position if he got elected. Perry hasn't got a plan out yet, or he's bringing a plan out any day now, so we'll see what kind of a plan he has. And the other candidates are just not serious candidates. I think what Cain has going for him is he's got a simple plan. He comes across as genuine. He comes across as honest, with somebody with integrity who believes in this stuff. He's not just playing a power game, a classical politician. He's not a politician, which I think right now helps him a lot. He just comes across as genuine and as an honest, plain-speaking, straight-talking person. And I think that's exactly what Republicans are looking for. And if he can stick to this plan, he can defend it properly, and if he can expand on it, expand about where he would cut government spending and what exactly he would do, I think he's got a legitimate shot at this, certainly if it turns out his main opposition is Romney.
All right, we're speaking with Dr. Yaron Brook. He's the executive director at the Ayn Rand Center for Individual Rights. We're getting close to the end of the interview here. Is there anything that you wanted to cover real quick that maybe I did not have the foresight to ask you?
Well, I think that one of Rand's main contributions to the whole debate around capitalism, and one that's important to always raise, is that capitalism is not only the economic system that produces the goods. Capitalism is the only moral system. It's the only system that leads people free to pursue their own happiness. The founding fathers understood this. And I think that there were, you know, whoever is out there defending capitalism, whether it's Republicans or others, they need to be more passionate about this. This is about freedom. This is about morality. This is about good. This is about allowing people to live their lives, to have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's not some passionless debate about economics. This is all about human life and human success and prospering. And to win this, we're going to have to pick up the moral mantle and not let the left kind of dominate the moral high ground.
Well, hey, Dr. Yarnbrook, I want to thank you for joining us today. Real quick, websites, Twitter, Facebook, any of that stuff?
AynRand.org, AynRand.org. And please, you know, look me up on Facebook, Yaron, Yaron Brook, B-R-O-O-K. And you can follow me on Twitter at Ybrook, Y-B-R-O-O-K.
Doctor, it's been a pleasure, and have a great weekend.
My pleasure. You too. Thanks.
21st Century Firearms. They're at 827 North Main Street in Bluffton, and they are your one stop for firearms, ammunition, and reloading supplies. Stop in and talk to their friendly staff with years of experience in hunting, the shooting sports, and military-style firearms. They carry a big selection of modern sporting firearms, handguns, and shotguns with one of the biggest inventories around at the best prices, period. They also deal in NFA items such as silencers, short-barreled rifles, and yes, you can even buy a machine gun from 21st Century Firearms. Check them out online, 21stCenturyFirearms.com, or you can shop them online at shop.21stCenturyFirearms.com. Store hours are 10 to 6, Monday through Friday. Saturdays are open from 9 to 4. Any questions, give them a call, 260-824-5530.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
Hey guys, this is Tony Kanaan, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, the best in town.
Virgil Caine is the name, and I served on the Danville train. Till Stallman's cavalry came and tore up the tracks again. In the winter of 65, we were hungry, just barely alive. I made the 10th, Richmond had fell. It's a time I remember oh so well. The night they drove old Dixie down, and the bells were ringing. The night they drove old Dixie down, and the people were singing. They went.
All right, we are back here on the Gary Snyder Show. 1400 WBAT. I want to thank Dr. Yarnbrook for joining us and telling us a little bit about the Ayn Rand Center and what they do over there. Always interesting to hear people's take, especially on this Occupy, I'll say Wall Street, but you know it can be about anything these days since they're all over. Now, you heard the Anytime Fitness ad. Keep in mind right now, if you go into Anytime Fitness, you can get a membership to Anytime Fitness, a one-year membership, for less than $1 a day. And trust me, here pretty soon, it's going to turn pretty ugly outside, and you're not going to want to work out outside. So get on to Anytime Fitness, and you can check them out, and mention this show, my name, and you will be able to get 2 free months on top of that membership. And you can use that anytime fitness membership at any Anytime Fitness across the U.S., and they are open 24/7. How many others are around here? Zero. All right. So check them out, Anytime Fitness here in Marion, Indiana. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be back here with Tom Marquis. He is the co-host of this show from 4:30 to 6. And Todd Donnelly, Senior Vice President of Mortgage Lending for Fifth Third Bank, Central Indiana, will be here to talk about President Obama's mortgage announcement yesterday that refinancing for everyone, or maybe not everyone, but close to. You're listening to The Gary Snyder Show.
Every year for the past 12 years, I've made a donation to the United Way of Grant County. Hello, this is Jennifer Lane Riefler, Executive Director of Cancer Services of Grant County, and I contribute to the United Way because of what United Way does for this community. We provide services to many agencies for all walks of life, for all age groups, and I believe in the United Way, and I believe in Cancer Services of Grant County and the rest of the organizations. Please give to the United Way. Thank you.
You have me, the radio guy. You have David Pennicuff, the newspaper guy from the Chronicle Tribune. Then you have Ed Breen, the newspaper guy who has become a radio guy. Throw us all into a room at the same time with three microphones, and what do you get? Well, either this or CT Talks. Join us and call us the third Friday of each month for CT Talks on 1400 WBAT. Ed Breen, David Pennicuff, and me, Tim George. On WBAT, we keep you informed.
WBAT, brought to you by Stanley Steamer. Schedule your carpet cleaning, hardwood refinishing, tile and grout cleaning, or upholstery cleaning with a click of a mouse at stanleysteamer.com. We appreciate your business.
Every day, there are thousands of news types out there spouting off just to hear themselves talk. Or should I call them news hypes? Avoid the talk show drama queen by listening to Good Morning Grant County and The Gary Snyder Show weekdays on WBAT. Our focus is others, the people we interview, and you, with your highly valued opinion. The Gary Snyder Show, 3 to 6 p.m., and Good Morning Grant County, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on 1400 WBAT. We keep you informed.
Bringing local news to Van Buren, Matthews, and all of Grant County, we are 1400 WBAT.
From the 1400 WBAT newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. Wabash City officials hope grant funding can be obtained so that a new water tower can be built in the Wabash Business Complex. Mayor Bob Van Landingham said he wants to get funding together for the new water tower, which would increase storage capacity, pressure, and available fire flows for the complex. Mayor Van Landingham says improving the water supply can improve conditions for current clients in the park, plus help to attract new businesses. The city is working with Indiana American Water Company to gain a $1.8 million grant from the U.S. Department of Commerce for the new water tower. They hope to claim that funding very soon. And the city election in Marion this year has generated a lot of interest and a lot of campaign money. Required campaign finance reports turned in by mayoral and city council candidates in Marion show that nearly $125,000 has been raised by the candidates. Not surprising, the mayor's race has generated the most money, with incumbent Republican Mayor Wayne Siebold reporting that his campaign has raised just over $73,000, while Democratic challenger Lynn Johnson has brought in just under $21,000. Among the Marion City Council candidates, Democrat challenger Jocelyn Whitaker has brought in the most campaign money, raising just over $7,600. And finally, four Peru residents were arrested over the weekend on drug charges after authorities received a tip. Just before 10 o'clock, police responded to the residence of Xavier Brennemer after receiving a tip about drug usage at the apartment. When officers arrived, they were able to detect a strong odor of burnt marijuana coming from inside the residence. A search of the residence revealed paraphernalia, marijuana, cocaine, and other controlled substances like oxycodone. From the 1400 WBAT Newsroom, I'm Weston Lee. The 1400 WBAT forecast for the rest of today, mostly sunny, windy, and mild, highs around 70. Tonight becoming cloudy and windy with a chance of showers and a possible thunderstorm, lows near 50. And Wednesday, cloudy and cooler with rain likely, highs around 60 degrees. You're listening to 1400 WBAT, your connection for sports, news, and information.
Welcome to the Warwick Hotel. Let me get your bags. This way, please. You're staying on 13. Most of our guests try to avoid the 13th floor after what happened. They say that the souls of those who perished there are trapped, and they want revenge. Well, nothing to concern yourself with. Here we are, 13th floor. See you at checkout time.
Haunted Hotel, the 13th floor, downtown Huntington. Accepting reservations every weekend in October. Get discount coupons wherever you buy Pepsi. Get tickets at hauntedhuntington.com. Haunted Hotel, the 13th floor. A new season of fear is here.
Going down?
Buy your tickets now at hauntedhuntington.com.
Hi, this is Stacy Keach, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show.
Back here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT. All right. Before we get to our next guest, Freightco. They are a leading freight company in Northeast Indiana, and they are growing, and they want you. That's right. Freightco is looking for owner-operators who want miles and home time. If this sounds like you, then listen up. Freightco offers a 92-cent CPM. Plus, now, for all you Cardinal fans out there, that is in addition to a competitive FSC, and that's on all dispatches. Now, I don't know what CPM and FSC mean, but I do know that if you're an owner-operator, you probably know what it means, and it's very important because, hey, they put it in their ad. Freightco drivers average 2,500-plus miles a week and are home on weekends. Freightco offers consistent lanes with many being drop and hook. So if you're looking for a company that puts customers and employees first, or you just want more information on what Freightco has to offer, give Ray a call, 866-397-2581. You better hurry because I'm sure he goes at home at 5 to eat dinner. Again, 866-397-2581. Or visit them on the web at Freightco.org. Freightco, they are a freight moving company. Now, if you cannot remember all that, all you really need to remember is GaryLSnyder.com. You remember that, and you have access to everything. All right, now, I'm keeping my fingers crossed here because, sometimes technology doesn't work the way we want it, but I should have Tom Marquis, co-host of the show from 4:30 to 6 on the air. Tom, is that you?
I am here, ready to rock and roll, sir. Greetings and salutations to you.
You know, I'm just so glad you're there. And hopefully, on the other line is Todd Donnelly. He is a Senior Vice President of Mortgage Lending for Fifth Third Bank. Todd, are you there?
Good afternoon.
Boy, that's amazing the way that works, isn't it?
Everybody's here, Gary. A president accounted for.
I love it when a plan comes together. All right, we have invited Todd on. He is the Senior Vice President of Mortgage Lending for Fifth Third Bank to talk about mortgages, the housing market. But, Todd, I think we want to start with you. President Obama yesterday announced some help for homeowners who are upside down in their mortgages or underwater, if you will, especially if they are Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae loans. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Good afternoon, everybody. We did get information yesterday from the president that they are extending a program that was actually rolled out a couple of years ago, which was referred to as the HARP program, which stands for Home Affordable Refinance Program. The reason that they rolled this program out a couple of years ago was truly about underwater mortgages being where the client or the borrower owes more on their home than what the value of the home is today. What they've done now is they've made it even easier, or they're going to, as they roll this thing out here over the next month or so, for more consumers in the marketplace to take advantage of this program. The old program had a cap of 125% loan to value, meaning that the value of your home could not exceed 125% of the loan amount. They're actually going to eliminate the maximum 125% so that it can bring more consumers into the game of being able to take advantage of these historically low interest rates and not be concerned with what their true value of their home is, but more importantly, reducing the interest rate on the current mortgage that they have in place so that they can take advantage of what other consumers.
And that was us losing them. are you there, Tom? That is never, never a good sound. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back here in just a few minutes here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.
Work out anytime you want, 24/7 at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion. We offer the very best cardio equipment with satellite TV on each piece, over 10,000 pounds of free weights, and group fitness, including Zumba. Sign up now and get an extra free month with your new membership. Work out for less than a dollar a day, plus have free access to all Anytime Fitness locations anywhere in the country. Stop in for a free 7-day pass only at Anytime Fitness next to Marsh North in Marion.
It's time now for an Ed Breen moment. Thoughts and views of veteran journalist Ed Breen.
Lots of folks are writing and talking and dithering about the Occupy Wall Street movement, or whatever it is, and what it means or what it may mean or what they think it means or what it doesn't mean at all. Let's suspend all that chatter for just a minute and consider one simple number. 58% of Americans describe themselves as being angry or furious with the ineptitude of their government right now. 58%. That's nearly 6 out of every 10 of us. The number comes from an Associated Press survey last week, and because everything is suspect these days, a few words on how the venerable Associated Press, which plays everything right down the middle to the point of boredom, came up with that number. The poll was conducted for the AP by G.K. Roper Company. It included landline and cell phone interviews with 1,000 adults and had a margin of error of plus or minus 4 percentage points. More alarmingly, that number of those of us who are angry jumped in the most recent poll by 9 percentage points, up from 49% last January. In a few words, we seem to have crossed the tipping point. Decidedly more than half of us are now fed up. The other side of the coin, a scant 17% feel good, proud or inspired about their country, and it gets worse. Nearly 9 in 10, 88% of us, say that we are frustrated with politics and politicians of all faiths and persuasions, and nearly as many say that they are disappointed and resentful of the political bickering over such basic government responsibilities as passing a federal budget and raising the nation's debt limit. 37% of those polled, more than a third, are supportive of the protests that have spread from New York to cities and towns across the country under the ill-defined banner of the Occupy Wall Street movement. Some of this resentment, of course, is very similar to what we've heard for a couple of years now from the Tea Party folks. While the troubled economy, in one way or another, is at the root of anger at both government and business leaders, there's a difference. Tea Party activists generally argue that government is the problem and they advocate for free markets. The Wall Street protesters generally say that government can provide solutions and the free market is what has run amok. There is a possibility here, slim though it may be, that the Tea Party on the far right and the Occupy folks on the far left just might meet one of these days in the far turn and find that they have more in common than either would like to believe. The vote on this is far from in, but one point would seem to be painfully clear, that we are calling for a pox on both their houses, on all their houses, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives, brokers, bankers, everyone and anyone with the power to make our lives miserable. And that would seem to mean that we, those on the left, those on the right, those in the befuddled middle, are all seeking an option, an alternative, a third way. We seek someone who can make the trains run on time. But remember, Benito Mussolini promised Italy that he would make the trains run on time. He did, and what a terrible price the people paid. We must tread very lightly ahead.
Ed Breen is a Grant County journalist with more than 35 years in the news gathering business. His opinions do not necessarily reflect those of Hoosier AM and FM. Equal time will be presented to those with opposing views.
This is Lou Holtz, and you're listening to the Gary Snyder Show, and I have no reason why.
Trust me, I wish I was Superman about right now. Before we get back to our guests, hopefully they're still there, I hope. Oh, do you sense the desperation in my voice? All right, Schaefer's Indiana Turf, they're in Fort Wayne, and they are the place to go for all of your mowing needs this fall, and you still need to mow, and all of your snow removal needs this winter, including the new Ariens Snow Throw Snow Blowers, Gravely Mowers, and of course, Indiana's own Dixie Chopper. Schaefer's Indiana Turf has been in business since 1929, and if you're doing the math, that's a really long time. Or if you're actually doing the math, that's over 82 years of serving Fort Wayne, Marion, and Huntington and the surrounding area. They still carry all the top brands, Ariens Snow Throw, Gravely, Hustler, Dixie Chopper, and they even have the Echo Chainsaws and Leaf Blowers. You know you need the leaf blowers about now. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter where you bought it or what brand it is. Schaefer's Indiana Turf can and will fix it in their state-of-the-art service center. Call them, 260-489-3391. Visit them at their store at 5202 West Washington Center Road, just up the highway in Fort Wayne. You can visit them on the web at indianaturf.com. And remember, the best tagline ever, if you grow it, mow it, or blow it, Schaefer's can help. Now, if everything went correctly here, and after a lot of angst, if you will, we have Tom Marquis back with us. Tom?
I am here, sir.
And we also have Todd Donnelly.
I am also here, Gary.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Todd, I don't know where we left off, but you were talking about President Obama's plan to for some homeowners to refinance. Why don't you start back with exactly you know what this plan entails?
Basically, Gary, as we talked, I think just shortly before, was that for folks that are not able to take advantage of the refinance and these historically low interest rates that we're currently seeing, really due to the value of their homes, either really depreciating or losing value over the past few years with what's going on in the housing market. This program that is called HARP, the Home Affordable Refinance Program, is going to allow some individuals, some consumers, to be able to take advantage of these historically low rates by refinancing, even though their loan-to-value or the mortgage amount that they own on their home exceeds the normal guidelines. And in the past couple of years, we've had a guideline in place that allowed them to go up to 125% of the value of the home. This new program under President Obama will actually eliminate that ceiling and will be able to go above 125% and still take advantage of these historically low rates.
Now, I guess when people take a look at this program, one thing that I heard on this program is that you could not participate if you were delinquent on your mortgage payments already.
That is correct. They really look at somebody who is current on their mortgage. This isn't really a play for a consumer who's currently past due on their mortgage or is in a financial situation where they are potentially in default of their mortgage. This is really more around individuals that have the capabilities of making their payment, that have made their payment on time, and they'll go back and look at a 12-month period. And it's not that they can never have been delinquent, but they really look at a 12-month snapshot to make sure there's no delinquency or serious delinquency in that window of time. And so as long as you meet that criteria, now there's other criteria that I can get into specifically about who and who would not be able to qualify, but when it comes to delinquency, you really isn't made for someone who is currently delinquent on their mortgage.
Go ahead, Tom.
Well, Todd, first of all, thank you for joining us and bearing with us on our technical difficulties today. But, you know, I was in the mortgage industry for several years, and maybe I'm missing the obvious in right here in front of my face, but the program from Obama, and the reason why they call it underwater program is because basically it's just that. People are upside down in their homes because of the fact they can't sell the home or for whatever reason they owe more than what the home is worth. Well, I guess a very obvious second-grade question would be for our listeners, how does that solve their problem? Because if you're allowing them to refinance, and basically for conversation purposes, they're ignoring the value of their home for some borrowers, and I understand that there's guidelines and criteria that are involved with that. What is that criteria? I mean, where are they helping them not be upside down in their home? Where's the benefit of this?
Oh, that's a great question, Tom. Really, I think what the president is attempting to do, and with the support of FHFA, the Federal Housing Finance Agency, is not necessarily to fix the problem of being underwater. That is a problem that, obviously I think needs to be addressed. But specifically around this program and what they're rolling out really centers more around not holding that consumer hostage because of where they're at with their underwater mortgage and not being able to either, one, free up cash flow by reducing their mortgage payment on a monthly basis by taking advantage of a lower interest rate. Or secondly is, and there's actually some incentive in this program for consumers that actually look at reducing the term of their mortgage. So let's say they started out on a 30-year mortgage and they're 3 years into it, still owe 27 years. They may be in a situation where they can actually lower their interest rate and their term maybe down to a 20-year and be able to keep their same monthly payment, but be able to reduce the term of their loan by up to a certain, in that particular example, 7 years. So what that would do for the consumer is actually start to build equity in their home quicker, Tom, with a lower interest rate and a lower term compared to being at a higher interest rate and a longer term where, as we know, more interest being paid in that latter example of a higher rate and a longer term. So really I think the crux of the theory behind this program is truly to give individuals the opportunity to take advantage of low interest rates and provide some incentive to say this isn't necessarily just a cash flow play when it comes to just reducing your house payment. In some cases, it may be for a consumer, but a secondary piece is to say, provide some incentive that says maybe by taking advantage of the lower rate and reducing the term of your loan, what that will provide you and will create is you building more equity in your home. So maybe that does relinquish how far underwater you are, or maybe get you back into a position where you're not underwater quicker than where they're at currently.
Let me ask you this, Todd. Going forward, to participate in this program, your loan has to be what, serviced by Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae?
It has to have been sold to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. The servicing most likely is going to be where the consumer makes their payments, which would either be a bank or a servicing company. But the key component here is the loan has to have been sold to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. And there's actually a website that is out there that you can actually go out to Freddie Mac and or Fannie Mae and determine whether or not your loan has been sold to one of those agencies, or simply call your servicer or your bank that has your current mortgage and be able to ask the question if your loan has been sold to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae to determine if you may be eligible.
Tom, you have anything else for Todd?
Yeah, Todd, I wanted to touch real quickly on the state of Indiana, because that's where the bulk of our listeners are right now. In the state of Indiana, do you think that we are about to pull out of the housing recession, or do you think it's going to get worse or get better, or is it back to the time, I understand everybody has different credit issues, but are we back to the time where, you know, good credit people buy homes, bad credit people can't buy homes?
You know, I would say what we're seeing, Tom, is that we are seeing some optimism in the housing market in Indiana. If you look year over year, a positive sign is that when you look at average sales prices, the average sales price is actually starting to creep upward. It's up over 3% year over year on the average sales price. So that's a good sign. That tells you that as a state, maybe we've hit a position to where we're stabilizing housing prices. Now, I will tell you, as Fifth Third Bank covers a large portion of the state of Indiana, is that you're still going to see a lot of pockets. We see pockets, quite honestly, Tom, that we are seeing quite a bit of appreciation in values on home sales, and home sales happening pretty rapidly. Although we have other pockets of the state of Indiana where it's still you're seeing a negative average sales price year over year, and the inventory still is sort of being stagnant. So, I think if you look at it from a big picture perspective, overall for the state of Indiana, we are seeing some optimism around the housing market. But I think when it gets down to community level, city level, we're still seeing some soft spots throughout the state.
Hey, Todd, we want to thank you for joining us today. Real quick, how can people get in touch with you if they need to, or websites, Facebook, all that stuff?
Well, we appreciate that, Gary. Appreciate being on. Fifth Third Bank, as we said, we have 78 financial centers throughout the central Indiana footprint, and then additional financial centers down in our Evansville market as well as up in our northwestern part of the state of Indiana. So we've got a lot of Fifth Third financial centers. Certainly stop into one of our financial centers. Or if you want to go online, you can certainly visit us at www.53.com and certainly provide all of the financial needs and be able to find a location near to you or to really talk to someone online to be able to discuss things such as this new program. I will tell you guys, back to the HARP program just real quickly, is that this thing most likely for your consumers out there and your listeners, this thing will probably not kick off till beginning of December, maybe even closer to January as your lenders start to get this thing completely rolled into their systems and ready to go. So a lot of noise out there right now, which is awesome, but really, truthfully, it might be about a 45-day window here before this thing will become available out in the marketplace. But certainly appreciate the time you've given us today. And if you've got an opportunity out there, folks, to take advantage of this, there's just great rates out there, and I certainly would recommend each of you to take the time to touch base with either Fifth Third or any of your banks out there to see if they are participating in the HARP program.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Todd Donnelly from Senior Vice President, Mortgage Lending for Fifth Third Bank, just giving us a little bit of information, which never hurts, I guess, does it, Tom?
Especially when you're a homeowner or wanting to buy a home. You can never have too much information.
Well, and, you know, we want to thank him for coming on and sharing that with us. The plan was just introduced by President Obama yesterday. My concern is it just gets a lot of people back into trouble again. But, hey, that's not my call. All right, break. We'll be back right here on the Gary Snyder Show on 1400 WBAT.